Hey, it's so good that you've joined us here today. I'm going to be speaking on the cause from the premise or the text of Philippians chapter 1, where Paul is in prison and he says, I urge you because of the cause of Christ. I hope you enjoy the message today. Tonight I've called it my message, The Cause. The Cause. Turn to the person next to you and say, The Cause. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. And as you're doing that, don't you think it's quite profound that Thomas, who was on the screen there giving his testimony, was basically given 25,000 kina, which is 10,000 Australian dollars. And for him, that became a moment where when Pastor Russell actually, one, prophesied over him, but two, gave him that resource to that ministry. Their ministry went from reaching hundreds once a year to within months, he said, and has been going on since. They've actually been reaching thousands over multiple events all over the nation now, because it was finance that triggered something. It gave him a resource, but more than a resource, it gave him belief. And when that belief was released, he actually stepped into what God had always purposed for him and those young people all over that nation. The great news is that he's here now, studying at our Bible college for 1 year. He's got a wife and a child back in Moresby, and we've already sent him back once and we'll keep doing that. But some of our business people got together and have paid for him to be here, because it's going to stimulate again another wave of growth in PNG. He's going to go back and head up part of the program of what we're doing with Community Hubs. So this is what you're sowing into. But tonight I want to talk to you about the cause, because we need to recognize that we came together in this church from different backgrounds, from different nationalities, from different tribes and tongues, as the Bible says. And we came together, and primarily we came together because of Jesus Christ. We came together because of his cause burning in our lives. And each one of us has a passion and a belief to be used significantly by God. And look what it says in the book of Philippians, Paul speaking in verse 12, chapter 1. Now I want you to know, brethren, this is an old Bible verse, version. I don't know about you, but anybody here who's been in church for more than about 25 years, not many of you, but some of us, Joe, you have been, you old man sitting at the front there, Pastor Joe. And, you know, I often hear things, or I think of things in the Bible, because I was brought up under the King James Version. And so often I hear things said and I have to think in the context of the version that I read when I was younger. So I'm reading this because some of the context of these words speak to what I want to speak about today. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Notice the premise here. Paul is saying, my circumstances. You've got to find out what his circumstances are when he's writing this. But his circumstances have turned out for greater purpose. Here's his circumstances. So that my imprisonment, he's in prison and he says, my circumstances have turned out for the greater. I don't know about you, but if I was in prison, I probably wouldn't be thinking, woohoo, this is great. This is the purpose of God for my life. But here's something we can learn from Paul, because he says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ is not just the feel-good gospel. It's about us being positioned for whatever he has purposed for our life, and us delighting in it has become well known throughout the whole Bretonian garden to everyone else. Listen to this, and this is why, the why behind he feels it's his purpose. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. So his imprisonment, his restraint, his being held back has actually released others. We need to recognize that God uses us in every season. God has a purpose beyond what we can often see. Trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage. A whole wave of a whole generation got courage because of his imprisonment to speak the word of God without fear. Fear dropped off and they got courage because Paul was in prison. But the key thing here is he refers to it as the cause of Jesus Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ refers to the purpose, the plan, or the mission of you serving God. God has assembled each one of us for the cause of Christ. He's got a plan, a purpose that started at the beginning of time and continues to the end of time. And we're a part in that plan, but we must remember it's His purpose that we've been assembled. I am not my own, Paul said, but I belong to Him. We come here and we serve according to His purpose. You know, this week I went out to lunch with somebody I'd never met before, and they really wanted to catch up for lunch. We had a mutual friend, and this friend said we should connect. And so I went out to lunch, and he was quite a bit younger than me. I know that's hard to believe looking at me, but he was in his early 30s. And anyway, we were sitting having lunch, and I was asking him, he recently got married about 2 years earlier. And in the middle of the conversation, he says, "Can I tell you something about just before I got married?" He said, "It's a little bit random." And the truth is, it is a little bit random. And he took 10 minutes of our hour-long conversation to tell me this story. At the time, I thought, wow, that's interesting. But anyway, the story is that his wife-to-be went to the grandma's house, his grandma's house, 1 week before they were about to get married. First time she'd been to that home. And on the wall in the home was a painting. She saw the painting, so she took a photo of the painting and sent it to her mother and said, "Mum, isn't this granddad's painting?" It had her granddad's name under the painting, and he was an artist that later in life, they told me, became a bit more famous. And the mother said, "I'm not sure, it looks like one of his. Ask the lady where she bought it from. If she tells you she bought it from this particular market, it will be your granddad's." So she asks her, you know, fiance, who she's about to marry, the guy that I'm having lunch with, grandma, "Hey, where did you get this painting?" She said, "Well, my husband bought it, and he bought it from this market." And it was the market her mum had said. And right at that moment, the two of them, who were getting married in a week, realized that both granddads were now passed away, didn't live anymore, but in their past had met mutually when they bought artwork off each other. And he was saying, "Isn't that amazing?" And I was thinking, "Well, I guess so." And anyway, the conversation went on. Later that afternoon, I was had been working on my message, and I started to think, isn't it amazing how we live our lives and so often we put things down to chance? We put things down to, "Oh yeah, I happened to bump into this person. Oh, I was on the other side of the world and I was talking to this person, and that person happened to know my auntie. Wow, how weird's that?" But I started to think the cause of Christ is His plan and purpose for the earth. He knows the beginning from the end. He's actually set it up that He wins in every way, and we're a part of that plan. And rather than living our lives in the sense of it's just random, we need to live our lives with a sense of the cause of Christ is why I'm on this earth. The cause of Christ is what I'm purposed to do. And I need to rise up with a sense of confidence that my God has already got a plan. He's got a purpose. And all I need to do is discover what that is. A few years ago, I was speaking to Planet Business, and I had just read some material on what they call the theory of the 6 degrees of separation. And basically, the 6 degrees of separation is a theory of really helping us to understand that because we are all linked by the chains of acquaintance, and actually what they believe is that you are just 6 introductions away from any other person on the planet. Sociologists did some research in the 70s and 80s, and although it wasn't comprehensively proved, many people subscribe to that. Right now, if you don't know, we have somewhere between 7.5 and 8 billion people on the earth. I don't know about you, but my intellect struggles with thinking, how could we possibly be, by just 6 or 7 conversations, be connected to every person on the earth? Well, Microsoft also heard about this, and they did it probably before all the public information laws kicked in. But they decided, with all the data they had, they searched 2.5 billion emails. They went through these emails and they discovered that this theory was nearly true. Why nearly true? Because it wasn't 6 degrees of separation, it was 6.6 degrees. So if we had a conversation with seven people, we could actually, the theory is that we could actually be connected to every person on earth some way or other. I started to think, God has a plan. We're not that disconnected. We're not that disconnected from others. When we think about taking a school, winning a university, seeing a city won, changing a nation, oh, it's only six conversations away from us actually being to touch everybody on the earth. Right now, whether you realize it or not, there's over 700 million, hear that, 700 million spirit-filled Christians live on the earth today. The fastest growing Christian movement on earth. That means that right now we're somewhere about 8 to 10% of the population of the earth. But if we could get a grasp that we're not here by chance, if we could get a grasp but we're not in this room by coincidence, if we could get a grasp we're only connected to people not far away, we could actually be a part of seeing what God's plan is, the cause here on earth. So I want to break this down to help us to understand what the limitation might be. Because when you break down the 6 degrees of separation, they actually talked about them all in different ways. And then I started to read the Word of God, and I broke it down to that there are really three main points for us as humanity to connect. There are three main points of connection. So let's apply how we can best connect. And maybe even, why are we in this church? Why aren't I a Planet Shakers? Why are you sitting in that room watching at home? Why are you in this room tonight? Because if we start to realize it's not random, we start to realize it's not by chance, and we learn how we can most effectively connect. Oh, just maybe we could do what we're purposed to do. We could step into what God has for us. So the first point of connection, the lowest form of connection, is what would be known as transaction. And a transaction, primarily its premise is, what do I get? What do I get from getting involved with somebody else? This week, I'm going to get a plumber come to our house because we have a gas cooktop. Doesn't sound right standing up here. Is that right? Does that make sense? Gas cooktop. Yes. Okay. I'll move on, but I'm stuck. And you know when you press that button that ignites the gas cooktop and it goes tick, 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 tick. Well, ours goes tick, 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 and nothing happens. It's like, ah! So we need the expert, the plumber, who is a gas fitter as well, to come and work out what's wrong with the cooktop. So a transaction's going to take place. We've said, we need you to come. He's going to charge us a fee. He's going to do a job. But the primary point of connection is not me inviting him to my house to pay him some ridiculous amount of money for probably 5 minutes' work. The primary point of connection is him to get a job done for me. But in that moment, I will meet him. And he'll either arrive at my house grumpy, or he'll arrive at my house not wanting to talk, or he'll be the tradesman that comes to my house and wants to talk half the day away, and I've got other things to do. But at the end of that time, I will either like him or not like him. I'll connect with him or I won't connect with him. But it doesn't really matter. But the funny thing is that many people come to churches and they have a transactional approach to connection. Young families come to church. We're going to check out the kids' program and we're going to see whether it's really what we want for our kids. And then when it's not what we want for our kids, I'm never going back to that church again. Or they come to the church looking for something particular. If we find this type of, and we have the mentality of, what do I get? But the premise of living according to His cause is never about, what do I get? Because if we make it about that, we're never going to step into what He has for us. So we got to move beyond a transactional approach. The second thing, and most of us trade in this area, and this is the good thing about church life, but it's also the thing that holds churches back. Particularly if you grew up like I did in a church of a couple of hundred people for 30 years. It's called relationship. The second point of connection is relationship. And relationship is really based on, how do I feel? I love the modern car. When I started out, I had a Ford Cortina station wagon. It was the gear model, which the gear was the top of the range, velour seats, but it was like this chocolate brown. I called it poo brown, but I thought it was the best looking car on the street, but it really wasn't. But the thing about cars in those times, they had an air conditioner and you just turned a dial and you turned it off. Now, thank God, most air conditioners, there's one side of the car is one temperature, the other side of the car, I call it the marriage-saving feature of the car. Because we all know that most men are hot. Oh, yes. If the cap fits, you got to wear it, I guess. And I don't mean hot like that. I mean hot, like feel hot all the time. And my wife, she's cold. Well, that doesn't sound good, but you know what I mean. Lucky she's not here. She was in earlier services, and I didn't use this illustration. No, I did use this illustration. But you put it on last night when I was going to church. I had 24, she had 24 degrees. I mean, who sits in 24 degrees? That's like semi-arid. That's like being in the desert or something. What are you thinking? You're sitting in a car. Yes, there's my daughter, sits with 27 degrees. I, on the other hand, 19 degrees, cold air blowing. You know, just get some of that cold air going. But here's the thing about relationship. We can be in a room and we can think that we're at a place with somebody, but who knows, in relationship, you don't really know where they're at. As an example, boys going out with girls. Ah, now you're interested. They start the relationship, they're a month in. The girl is writing in her journal every day how much this relationship is going so well. She's talking to her friends every moment. She's texting the guy 7 times a day. The same person that's in the same relationships that's saying this is going well is texting his mates saying, when are we going to the football? But both of them would say they're committed to the relationship, yet they're in a very different space of thinking. How is it that a parent can live on the other side of the planet and be thinking about their kids every day? And they think their kids are thinking about them every day. But all you university students that are here know that ain't happening. Because see, in relationship, we're close, but we're still apart. It's not the ultimate level of connectivity. And we need to recognize if we're going to do what God has mandated us to do, then we've got to dive in to the level of connectivity that's going to see his purpose fulfilled in our lives and in his purpose on the earth. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, if you get married, it's quite possible the pastor will use this scripture, rightfully so. I've used it myself. And it says this, two are better than one. Oh, isn't it so poetic? Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Oh, it's just beautiful. This is like poetry. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, this is good for this time of year, they keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So it's all been about two, then suddenly it changes. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Some people say, well, that's connect with Jesus and you have a couple and they come together. But this passage, sorry to let people down, was not written for married couples. Because the context or the premise, if you read on in chapter 4 and 5, actually is talking about making a vow to God and to fulfill his plan for your life. So actually what he's saying is you need each other, not romantically, you need each other because there's moments when you're down and somebody else is up. See, we read things through the premise of what we want. I want relationship. I want to be connected with people. I came to this church and I used to have a season where everybody loved me and everybody liked me. But now I'm thinking about leaving the church because I don't have those relationships anymore. We never joined on the basis of relationship. We joined on the basis of common cause. His name is Jesus. We came into this environment with a sense of purpose and destiny, but somewhere along the way, we made it about how we feel, or we made it about what do I get? But the premise that we should be coming into this environment is to recognize, what am I going to give? What am I going to contribute? What am I going to deposit into this environment? You see, the highest level of connectivity is the cause. In fact, Microsoft put it this way. They said, a higher purpose is the greatest way to connect. When two people mutually come together for a higher purpose. In fact, they went one step further. They said, it's something spiritual. The premise of the cause is that it's not about you and you or me. It's about Him. A higher authority, a greater cause, a stable platform to make connection. Relationship can come and go, can feel good one day, feel bad the next day. Transaction, you can get it today. Tomorrow, you can't get it anymore. You can pay a high price because you've got all the money in the world, but now you've got nothing, you can't get it. But I want to tell you, the cause of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's been the same all the way along. He will be the same forever to come. And we need to recognize that the greatest cause that we can commit to is His cause, His purpose, His plan. So in this room, we need to recognize His purpose. Our common purpose, our common cause, our common partner is Jesus. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30 says, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Leviticus 26 verse 8 says, 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you, says the Lord. We need to recognize that we are designed to be together, but not to focus on relationship, not to focus on what do I get or how do I feel, but to focus on His cause. Some of us lose track of that and it becomes about what do I get and who am I and when, how do I feel, rather than recognizing it's like the epitome of what today is all about. We're here to give. Today it's an offering, but it shouldn't be just a today. It shouldn't just be a once a year thing. It should be a lifestyle that says sometimes I feel great. But when I'm in prison, I still know that God has a purpose for my life. Sometimes I get exactly what I want. The transaction is fulfilled. But most of the time I live not getting what I want. I abound in much and I abound in little is what Paul says. In 2015, many of you know the story, but I got a call. One night, woken in the night, believing that we should reach Papua New Guinea. A lot of that is now history. But it started with the thought we should write to the Prime Minister of that country, Peter O'Neill. I wrote to him and he responded, to my amazement, with, yes, we will meet you. I was like, wow, let's go. So we got on a plane, had two business people with me. And I was going with a mandate. We arrived in the city. We told you as a church. We told people all over the world, pray. We're going to meet the Prime Minister, that God would open a door. We arrive in the country, and literally as I get in the car to go to my hotel, I get a phone call and it's saying that the Prime Minister can't meet you because there's been a vote of no confidence in his leadership and it's been sorted out, but he needs to stay around Parliament for the day. And I remember thinking, I can't believe it. But my primary thing was a transactional mentality. Oh no, I came here to get something and I'm not going to get it. And if we live in that space, we can miss the moment God has for us. Because we get dissatisfied, upset with somebody. Why didn't it happen for me? I get a phone call, or there's a member of Parliament will meet you. One of the ministers, he's the finance minister. I said, well, that's good. But I don't want to meet him. I want to meet the Prime Minister, because what are the people going to think when I go home and say, oh, we went to meet him and he wasn't there? They're going to like, who are you? You told told us all how influential you were. You told her, and my pride was on the line. Paul's in prison for this cause. Restrained, humiliated, but still new in the purposes of God. I met this guy, he arrives, he says, "Sir, I've got 15 minutes. I felt like saying, "I've got 15 minutes too, buddy. You know, roll your sleeves up, let's go for it. What are you? I don't want to meet you, you don't want to meet me, so let's just move on." We sat down. We spent 1.5 hours together. We hit it off. A relationship was formed. I'm going to put his up on the screen right now. This is James Marrop, the finance minister of Papua New Guinea. This is actually, we discovered when we were looking at this photo today, that this is actually me and James standing in the room where, you know, Thomas's testimony about receiving the money from Pastor Russell. That photo was taken just before Pastor Russell got on stage. Was it by coincidence? Or was it by the purposes of God? Every time I went to Papua New Guinea, I met with James Marrop. We'd have dinner together in this really bad Chinese restaurant. He loves it, but it's bad. And in November, I went, and it was the last time I saw him in person. And we were in the restaurant together, and he arrives. I've got my suit jacket. Look pretty similar to that. Look at him. He's dressed up nicely. He shows up in his shorts, a t-shirt, and his thongs. Well, for those people watching online, that means flip-flops, okay? I don't want you to get the wrong impression. This is G-rated church right here. So we're sitting in this room, and he says to me, "Neil, I've been thinking about the community hubs, and I believe that we should get it written into government policy." But he said, "I don't have the ultimate power on that, so it's going to take some time. Let's get some policy writers to come in and let's believe that the 89 districts will all have a hub and it'll be financed, the maintenance, the ongoing, by the government." And I was like, "Wow, that's unbelievable you're saying that." But he was also acknowledging he didn't really have the power to do it, but he's a Seventh-day Adventist and he believes that God has a purpose for him. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, I'm in the staff prayer meeting. I get a text. It's from James. "Hey, Neil, don't tell anybody." And it's a picture of him. He's got a suit and didn't have his shorts and t-shirt, good to know. But he had his suit and tie on. He says, "Don't tell anybody, but we're driving to Government House right now, to the Governor's House." He said, "I'm about to be sworn in as the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea." He said, and I texted him and I said, "Well, I can become your special advisor on youth affairs. Ha ha." He texts back and he said, "Don't think so small. We've got a lot to do in this country. I'm going to need your help." He wasn't joking. That Friday night, I get on ABC Live online, on the news all over our nation. New Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, James Marrop. I could have responded to being in a room with a guy who had no real title. But I know the man with a plan. Nothing is by chance. God has a purpose and a design that is far greater than what you feel right now. Are you going to respond to what I need? Are you going to respond to how you feel? Or are you going to get caught in the great cause of Jesus Christ? I want everybody to stand to your feet. See, we're not in this room by chance. You didn't come to study in this country by chance. You don't work in that company by chance. You're not in this church by a coincidence. You're here because the cause of Jesus Christ is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And rather than living our lives with a mentality of chance, we need to recognize that His cause is our cause. So in this room, some of you have become imprisoned by what do I get? Come come to this church and I used to be recognized a bit more than I am now. I used to be able to do, but I feel like nobody's acknowledging. I came and I thought I was going to meet some people. I haven't met that many people. I thought that a job was going to come my way. It hasn't happened. Transaction. We're talking about a higher calling. Not what do I get, but rather what do I give? I used to come and I used to have a lot more friends. Some of them have left the church. Some of them are uninvolved in my area of ministry. I feel a little isolated. Oh, there's an enemy at work, make no mistake. But we didn't come here to get some friends. We didn't come here to build relationship. Of course we all want that, but that's not the primary reason we're here. We stand arm in arm together. And some of us closer than others. There's some days where Pastor Russell, who's my good friend, senior pastor of our church, but I look at him and I think, are you even my friend? Because he's unhappy about something, he doesn't want something, he looks at me a certain way, and I'm like, well, I'm dead. But I don't walk out the door because I feel like that. I don't walk out the door because I don't get exactly what I want. I'm committed to the cause that's of a cause far higher than any person, the cause of Jesus Christ. Some of us, harsh as it is, need to get over ourselves. He was around before any of us were around. He'll be around beyond any of us being here. But if you want to play a part in his cause, you got to say, it's not about what I get. It's not about how I feel. But it's what I give, and I give it all to you, Lord. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the message. Have a phenomenal week wherever you might be.